summary of chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so that we can follow the thoughts, the train of teaching that Paul was bringing in chapter 7. It's important that we do that. We end it in chapter 6 of the book of Romans. And in chapter 1 to 3, Paul was teaching about the key revelation of the gospel of the grace of God. Very important revelation that he was bringing up there, the gift of righteousness. What did I call it? Gift of righteousness. That all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ receive forgiveness of sin and accepted to God and counted righteous before God. Not because of what they did, but because of what Jesus did for them. For he bore our sins and paid the penalty for our sins. This was not available before Jesus came. This privilege was not available at the time of Moses. It was not available because it's only available because of what Jesus what did. So it couldn't be available until Jesus came. And then Paul was saying that man could not really achieve righteousness, that man was by nature broken. That man's nature was contrary to God's nature. What did I say? Man's nature was what? Contrary to God's nature. Because man had a different nature altogether that wasn't the nature of God. So, because of that different nature, man could not obey God, could not walk in unity with God, could not agree with God, because two birds of the same feather, what? Flock together. So, it was, he made a point that even if you give man a law, that man's nature is broken, that the law can't fix it. So he said, those who didn't have the law were broken. They had that nature, that by choice they disobeyed God. And those who had the law, the Jews who had the law, were not keeping it. That because of that nature, he said, for all have what? Seen and come short of the, that glory is God's nature. We don't have, they didn't have. He didn't have that divine glory, that nature of God. Man fell short of the heaven and couldn't come into the presence of God as a result of that, because his nature was really, really all messed up. It is important for you as a Christian to understand the place of nature in this kingdom of the cross. Because if you don't focus on nature, you focus on mannerisms. If you focus on mannerisms, you are going to miss the key thing that happened on the cross. Most times, Christians focus on mannerisms, preach only about mannerisms, and they do not understand that it is your nature that produces your man. They don't understand that a dog is a dog because of his nature. So when we focus on mannerisms, we end up teaching psychology, sociology, and all stuff like that. Mannerism you can teach in your house without being a person. I've said it here before. Even the heathens in our culture will teach you mannerism and force. So sometimes the church focuses on mannerism and spend years focusing on mannerism because people keep falling. People keep what? Falling. And then the poor preacher is preaching his heart out. Employing what does not change people. What can't work. Amen. I said amen. So Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 verse 11, he began to give this word of knowledge when God began to talk about this new righteousness he was going to give him. He says in 53 verse 11, when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, talking about Jesus, he will be satisfied, and because of his spirit, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be what? Counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. Again, this was not possible because until Jesus came, nobody bore all our sins. Only he. So because he bore our sins, He made it possible now for us to be counted what? Righteous. In King James, he said, he shall see the travail of his soul, I shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify me. The word justified is the same thing as righteous. To be justified is to be made just. To be called just is to be called righteous man. A just man is a righteous man. So the word justified and made righteous can be interchangeable, can be used interchangeably. And so in chapter 3, Paul said that because all have sinned, that the righteousness of God now is being given to all who believe in the Lord. What? Come on, church. Who believe what? Who? Yes. Yeah. So this righteousness is being given to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we study again, we are going to see why many Christians don't experience the power of God. Because the focus of mannerism, thinking that through their mannerism, they can impress God enough to give them stuff. But that's why they won't get anything. Because they're discounting Jesus Christ, who is the only way to God. By default. And that mindset is in a lot of business. And that's why when people have issues, they try to behave better. They try to be better. Because they think my mannerism is what will position me to receive from God. But that's why you won't receive anything. That's why you won't receive anything. Because you're coming through a wrong premise. God didn't create an access to him through your mannerism. He created access to him through faith in him. Christ Jesus. He said, nobody coming to my Father except by me. And then you set that aside, you can't have any other way to the Father. Not going to work. Again, mannerism is important. We're not trying to mock it. It's very, very important. Amen. I said amen. So in chapter 3, he said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Sorry, this is Romans 1, sorry. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, what? To faith. This righteousness is received from faith, what? To faith. It's something that comes to you only by faith. And the more you believe it, the more you experience it. And so, writing to in that in chapter 3, writing to the Corinthians, he brought out this fact again. Sorry, I'm not talking of chapter 2, I'm talking of chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 5:4. He brought out this thing again. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God, the him in Christ. He brought it out right into the Corinthians. And in chapter 3, he said that this righteousness is upon all and all that believe, that there is no difference. Then coming to chapter 4, he said that faith is the key thing in receiving things from God. He said that it is through faith you receive this gift of righteousness. And not only through that gift of righteousness, that through faith you receive everything that God is giving us. So he cited examples. So that God, he said that David also, he said that David talked about it, that David talks about the blessedness of a man upon whom God does not impute what? Iniquity. So David is talking about this righteousness that is given to us by faith. And he's saying that through this righteousness of faith, through this faith that gives us right standing, that we enter into the blessedness of God. And part of that blessedness is to keep you holy. Can I hear amen? You must understand that part of that blessedness is to keep you from destruction. And part of the thing that destroys you is sin. Part of that blessedness that God will give you because of his righteousness is to keep you. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God. It's to keep you. It's part of it. And so, Paul was trying to show that it is through this righteousness of faith, this believing in God, believing in his word, that makes you, justifies you to receive things from God. So he said, in Romans 4, from 1 to 3, he cited Abraham as an example. He said, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? What did Abraham discover? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before. For what does the scripture say? Abraham simply believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? He said, what did the scripture say? That Abraham simply believed God, and that qualified him to be in right standing to receive Isaac. He simply believed God, and that qualified him to be in right standing to receive what? Isaac. Because Isaac was promised to him. In verse 13 of Romans chapter 4, if you follow these things and understand it, you get your prayers answered with it. That's the same process. It's not different. But when people don't understand this and it's modeled up in their mind, there is some. Don't let them be doing for years. Mannerism. But when you understand that it is through the righteousness of faith that the blessedness of God comes, you'll be comfortable there. Can I hear amen? You'll be very, very what? Comfortable with that, knowing that it works all the time. So verse 13, for the promise that he will be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It was not to Abraham or to his seed through what? The law. But through the righteousness of faith. 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So he's saying that if you want to experience the promises of God, you also have to come by the righteousness of faith. That if you believe in what God told you, that God would count you in right standing to receive that thing that God told you. That's a plan that. Amen. I think many people don't see what that. I mean, if you understand what it is. If you understand this, say amen. You want me to repeat it? If you believe in what God told you, that your faith justifies you to receive that. But if you don't believe in what God told you, your doubt and unbelief will make you not to receive. You know when Jesus came, he was healing everyone. But he went to his hometown. He couldn't heal. And what stopped him? Because of their what? Unbelief. They didn't believe in what he told them. So they couldn't receive the healing. I want to repeat that again. If you believe in what God told you, that your faith is called righteousness of faith. It gives you right standing to receive that. But if you don't believe in what God told you, who is it? Let me repeat it again. If you believe in what God what told you, that's honoring God. Then that believing in the word of God justifies you to receive that. That's what he's saying. Let me go back and read it again. He says, Romans 4 from verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham were justified, that is to receive Isaac, justified by works, then he has something to what? Come on. To what? Come on. To what? Boast about. So his boast will not be in the Lord. His boast will be in his works. But the Bible says, he that boasts, let him boast in what? In the Lord. So he can boast and say, well, God, you know what it means. And now, man, I paid up, I qualified, I did 1, 2, 3, 4, so give it to me. So big question is, what is Christ in it? Which means Christ didn't pay for it. You have now paid. Now, question is, listen to this. Our payment doesn't. Short of his what? Glory. After they've counted everything you brought to God, they won't deny it, they will count it. and after counting it, it will still not pay for your sin. The only thing that paid for your sin was what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Now, in chapter 5, he writes about the blessings or benefits of this gift of righteousness to the believer who has now been made just at their right standing with God. So he says, for instance, in verse 7, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. That when we walk in faith in the word of God, we reign. If we walk by faith in what Christ has done, you reign, you overcome. Amen. I said amen. If you walk by faith in what Jesus has done, you stand on solid rock. You will overcome. But if you don't walk on faith in what Jesus has done, you will stumble and fall. That's why God warned us. He said, I've set in Zion a rock of what? Offense. And then a rock of stumbling. That people will come and trip over Jesus and do what? Fall. But others will come and stand on him. And those who stand on him shall not be put to what? Shame. That's what I'm teaching you. You can't stand on yourself. You fall and scatter. You can't be singing, you are the pillar that holds my life, and turn around and find another pillar. There's not a beginning. Praise the Lord. So he says, if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive this abundance of the benefit of what Christ did on the cross, and of the gift of righteousness as a result, they shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. In verse 21, that as sin had reigned unto death, sin was reigning, producing death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Eh? Many of you are not understanding. Have you been in this church too long? I'm talking to our members here. You should understand this. I've been talking this forever. You have foundation to get this. Because I've been talking this. I've tried to break it down, make it simple, demonstrate it, bring people, show you this, show you that. About this time, you'll be teaching me this. Amen. I said amen. So, in Romans 5:21, that as sin had reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto what? Eternal life by Jesus Christ. He's saying that sin reign producing death. Now there is grace. Jesus went to the cross, died, and made forgiveness available, and made eternal life what? Available. So he said, because of this abundance of grace that is available, that when you receive this thing and the gift of righteousness, you now reign in life. Instead of sin reigning over you, you reign over sin. Because now you can do all things through Christ, who is now your son. Are you following? Now let me begin. See this now, see. If you don't understand it, you will not see your clamor. You have a lot of change. But the result of it is this is the cross. This is the key issue. If you get this thing, you will reign and reign and reign and what? Reign some more. Over sin, over devil. You will reign. You have revelation from God. You have understanding. The way you see this and analyze this will reflect the activity of the Spirit of God. You know that this thing is not by might, it's not by power, made by what? The Spirit of God. It's not by others. So the time of divine favor is now. That's what Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 4, verse 19. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The time of abundance of grace has come. Can we say it together? The time of abundance of grace has come. Let's say it loudly. Let's say it loudly. Let's say it loudly. What do you mean abundance of grace? What do you mean abundance of grace? When you say the time of abundance of grace, that there's abundance of grace, what do you really mean? What are you talking about? The path of abundance. Huh? When you say there's abundance of grace, what are you talking about? Tell you plenty. I still go home not knowing what you're talking about. When you say abundance of grace, what are you talking about? What is available? What is grace? So what favor? How does it help me in my problem? That's not the part of the guy you've told me. You've only used general terms. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, sin. Okay, because of sin. How does it help me? That day doesn't rain anymore. How does it help me? Abundance of grace, what does it mean? For instance, what did Jesus say? I have come that you have what? And have it what? When you say abundance of grace, you're talking of abundance of provision of eternal. You're talking of abundance of healing. You're talking of abundance of freedom. You're talking of abundance of blessings of heaven. You're talking of abundance of access to God. Everything Jesus died and paid for is provided to us in what? Abundance. You're talking of authority you have that you can stand and say to the devil in the name of Jesus, get out of here. That's abundance of grace. You have it in abundance. It's there. It's what? It's there. Jesus said, hey, I've come to give you life and to give it to you how? Abundantly. It's abundance. It's my grace. It's my mercy. I'm pouring. The Bible says God will pour His Spirit upon us. Abundance for Holy Spirit baptism. Abundance of grace. Pour, not trickle. It's pouring. It's pouring. So why are you taking a call when there is what? Abundance of healing. In abundance. That's why I said, if you receive this gift of righteousness, if you know that you are in right standing with God, you can go and get all the things that God has given. So you can now reign through them. You reign through them. They are given to you so that you will be where God wants you. For instance, you had the nature that was contrary to God. Grace gave us new nature. Complete new nature that is God's nature. So that you and God can be in agreement to understand what God is saying. You can add it in concert with God. You can add the relationship with God. You can hear what God is telling you. You can be led by the Spirit of God. You are no more needing the law to do all of those things. Am I clear now? Right? If you understand me, say amen. If you don't understand me, say amen. Luke chapter 4, 19. And that the time of the Lord's favor has what? It's come. We live in the time of favor. Abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. When you dance here, that's the reason you should be dancing. When you want to worship God and bless Him, you think of abundance of things, the riches of God. Paul said the riches of God is for you Gentiles. Riches in abundance. How rich is God? You are joined there with what? God.
Join faith. What's the balance of divine riches? Meaningless.
You know, when we don't know these things, when people take your shoes, you are fighting with them. There's abundance. Why you be careful? You can afford to live for them. Can I hear amen? You can afford to what? Live for them. That's the way they say you are foolish. No, you are not foolish. They mean, no, you have received the abundance. From where it came, more come. More will come. Abundance. Abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. Everybody say abundance of grace. We haven't even gotten to chapter 7. I'm still explaining the back rudiments of it. Abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. How many of us have received the abundance of grace? We have it. We have it. We have it. It's right here. Ability to live the life you can live naturally is there. It's been given to you. It's been given. So all this talk about sin, Paul says, hey, why are we talking this sin? He says, how can he that have been hesitant to sin continue what? In it? Because we don't know what grace has provided. We have neither. So we live outside the grace of God and wonder why the frustration is. We wonder why the frustration is. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I want to hear it big hallelujah. You see, the abundance of grace gives you divine. I mean, I don't know how to. It's an unfair, unfair favor with God. It's totally unfair. It's unfair. I mean, you're receiving what you did to some of it. Why do you know this place where? Haven't even paid your tithe, you want to write with me. So, knowing, listen to me, knowing our privilege to God, that God has given us the right to decree things of him, because we live in his name. And this is his word. I said to them, we will put that in. I said, take out all this whole system. And somebody said, but call this, come and say, my friend, take it out. Take it out. Take it out. So we started to pull out all the systems of heating and everything. Everything out. And every day the devil said to me, 375,000. I said, shut up, you have no business in this. And I said to me, can I say, you will see God with it. Why? It is your privilege, it's your father. He put you here as his ambassador. You shall decree a thing, and they shall do what? Stop it. Why are we afraid? Why don't we do what God said to do? To reign. So that his name is what? Why don't we? Why would you get out from being Christians? It's not pride. I told you that the mindset that thinks is robbery. It's an Adamic mindset. The Bible says Christ did not consider it what? Robbery to have the privileges he had. He should not consider it robbery either. So, long and short of it is today. One thing I want to say, I think it's good news. He said, Pastor, you remember the PRF? I said, yep. He said, the man just called me. Somebody called me. I said, I can put it for you. 100,000. All of it. You haven't heard that one. You had it. Am I right? From 375 to what? If I say, hey, you know what? We don't have 375. So we won't put it this money. It's how we run our life. Because they told you it's 375. Is your boast in yourself or in your God?
If it's your God,
yes.
Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. The reason you can do that is because you know that you and God are at peace. You are in relationship. He gave you these privileges in abundance. In what? Abundance. When she opened her business, I told her, say, "Spirit." He said, "That place is big. Every business run by a Christian should be able to. It should be churning out profit. Why shouldn't it? Have you ever heard that Jesus lost anything? So will it start with you? But the point is that when you don't believe that you are a good, you are peace with him, that is you are in good standing with him, you are afraid, you won't do anything. Your prayer will be wishy-washy. You'll be praying you don't even expect it. You think there's something more you need to do, and the devil will pile you up with stuff that you will think, yeah. Oh my God. Jesus of Nazareth. I look at it and say, look at you. I paid for your sins. You can't pay for it. You just have nothing to what? Pay for. I'm the one that paid for. If you are following me now, say amen. More people have joined. We are making progress. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. That's why God is a prophet. You have abundance of grace. For God, how can you have abundance of grace? I'm looking for what you need a prophet. No. The righteous is a bold. I like, get bold, my friend. Get bold. Get bold. Declare this bold. Go to the devil and say, shout in Jesus' name. Fight the devil as long as it takes. If he tries to put symptoms on you, roll up your sleeve and say, two of us, one. Somebody will be standing here and this meet you, Father. Because that's your portion. Fighting, praying tongues, wake up praying in the spirit, stand up praying. Eat, take somebody, hey, I've got business. Pray, if you're in the hospital, pray in the spirit. Be praying and say, this is your way. You can stay in Jesus' name. I have abundance of life. You can take it from me. Are you crazy? So, 3-4 days, the doctors will say this. And it is your faith that gave you that one victory. So, you pray. Because of righteousness of faith. Because of what? Righteousness of faith. The Bible says that you can't receive anything if you don't come back. He said this, you can't. Just forget about this. Can I hear amen? Just one word that you're involved in, I will take away. And we started this thing. This one was started. And I told her, I said, get seats. I said, you are acting like you're not Christians. I said, well, boy, fill up the place with seats. What's wrong with you? They said, I this number. I said, my friend, fill it up. So they added some seats. I told her, I said, you be here. You are walking by sight. You are looking at what you can see. There's abundance of grace to make this thing full of people. See, they put particular number. And last Sunday, they are people full. They called me and said, "Whoa, we have more people than we see." I said, "But I told you." And they now say, "We are going to buy more." Says, "Oh, ye of little faith." I want you to do something. Tell yourself and say, "God is giving me abundance of grace." Say it one more time. Then ask yourself a question: what am I doing with it? Abundance. There is nothing that God has given you. He says he gives abundantly above all you can think or even ask in prayer. Everything is in abundance. Healing is in abundance. It's not trickle. It's a flood of healing power that's flowing in your body. If you are swimming in healing, all your body, the Bible says the Spirit of Christ gives to your mortal body, it's flowing. The power that makes people rich is in you. The wisdom is in you. In abundance, not small. But because we don't know it now, you've turned to, you want people to come and be sympathizing with you. So this is the health. You know, these are our enemies. My sister, I'm sorry about it. It's your in-law. your father-in-law.
Believe you me, I get shocked when you Christians talk. You don't have any problem with the devil. The devil has a problem with you. And you didn't hear that. You don't have any problem with the devil. The devil has what? Serious issues because you showed up. I'm not kidding you. You don't have any problem with Satan. He has serious because here comes somebody he cannot. Can't handle it. How can the devil handle it? When you are joined to Jesus Christ, how can handle it? Not possible. You don't know the abundance of power that you have. That's why. Let me say it again. You don't have any problem with Satan. The devil has insurmountable problem with you. If you show up, he's having confusion. He doesn't know how to deal with this guy. Because the guy comes with one thing, like David said to Goliath, you have no idea what's coming. He said, today you are naked, you know what? Cut off him. See, you know the name. You know his name. You know the name I'm coming with. You don't have an idea Goliath was coming. He's headed your way and you can't survive. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Your greatest joy would be to see the devil run like the righteous. The Bible says he will flee. A fleeing person is not walking away. What does fleeing mean? He's running like somebody who is what? Terrorizing. Why is he terrorized? Because of it. Isn't what I said to say? He said they shall surely gather. But no, but I'm not there. He said that all of them that gather, let it be your whole village. All of them that gather shall surely again, the same way they surely gather, they will usher surely what? Because of who? Because of you. He said, because your righteousness, I'm the one that has made you in right standing to give all the blessings of God. Because of the privileges you have, they will run because they will be terrified about what I have given. Praise the Lord. You know what? This is not my Bible study again. You know one time, there's this boy that had muscles, man. So every single time you go and come, I got three muscles. Every single time. They brought him to church while we went to church. And after service, they told us to drop him. He came near our door. I opened the door. He said, I will enter the car. He said, there's somebody inside there. He said, can't you be scared? He said, I can't enter. There's somebody there. You know who was saying that? It's the devil. He was saying, yeah. He said, there's somebody there. He said, yeah, I can't enter. We did that. He said, no. He's there. Then we went. My wife and I went to ShopRite. This ShopRite is. Immediately we came out, one Christian man came. Say, I know you are Christians. And I know you read the Bible. In fact, let me tell you, the most important book is Daniel. You have to read the book of Daniel. It's the most important book. And I know you are Christians. And he was telling us, I know you are Christians. I know you read the Bible. So you should read Daniel, the book of Daniel. He was following us until we got to the shop. I said to my wife, I said, you know he's talking. The devil. Why did the devil come and say, I know you're Christians? What identifies you there? The spirit of he that rests Christ from the dead. If it's in you, it belongs to him. So what he sees is what you don't even see. You see Christ, what? He said, I know you're Christians. I know you're Christians. And you read the Bible. I know. You study the Bible. I know. He said, but you know, go read the Daniel. You should read Daniel. I look at that. The devil telling me what to do. Do you know it's the same thing for you? It's the same thing. If they did that to us, if the devil will say, I know you're Christians, when the devil shows up where you are, doesn't he know he knows you are what? Christian. And what else does he know? He knows you have authority over him. He understands that is defeated in your life. Come on, church. He knows you have power. And he knows you have already overcome him, because the greater one is what? But you know who doesn't know it? You! 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 And Bible says my people perish because of what? Don't do it. That's why you shake it. That's why I can't stand up and fight your way out of it. Praise the Lord. I've had the devil engage me for more than 1 year, almost 2 years, trying to kill me in this country. I mean, he did his best to kill me. And before this thing happened, there was a pastor who was praying with him somewhere. He called me. He said, Pastor, he said that. He said, after that, he not told me what will happen. What he said will happen was what the response will be there. What will be there? And that's what one woman saw here in the vision as well in service. God opened her eyes to see what this church will do. She came here and said, my faith was crying. I called my wife and said, come here. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I've never been in this way before. He said, I waited there. We've been bought this the new building. God showed to our sister. She came to me. He said, Pastor, I saw that we bought the new building. I said, did anybody talk to you about building? He said, no. I said, okay, fine, thank you. But at that time, he didn't know we were looking for what? See, even this time, why do this spirit in you is very active. But you should be active. Except what? Yeah. Can I hear amen? I said, can I hear amen? Lord, you want us to teach this thing? Okay. Let's rise up and worship. Everybody rise up. Let's just worship. Can I have somebody who can play this thing for me? So, to chapter 6, Paul began to answer in attribution. If God gave us all these things by because of faith in Christ, is it not normal to say, let us continue to say that our that grace will what? Abound. So since God forgives us, gave us this free gift of righteousness and this abundance because of his grace, is it natural, not natural to think like that and say, yeah, so sin doesn't even have any more effect. There's abundance of grace. So let us continue to say, Paul said, no, that is wrong. Because grace did more than give you all this thing. That grace did more work in your life. That grace is in your nature. That you used to have the nature of the devil. Contrary to God, the grace came and gave you the nature of God. Because now, in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. And he said, not only did he give you this nature, he took the old nature which was sinful and crucified. So that the issue of sin has been what? So, since sin is no more your slave, I mean, no more your master. Because from that grace, because of what grace has done, he began to talk about the deeper works of grace that grace has done, that were not what we used to be. We are not what we used to be. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Knowing when. Okay, put back the one you had before. The one you had before. We know that our old sinful self, we are what? Crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power. Now, question is, do you know it? Do I know it? He said, I know it. I know it. Do we know it? Do we live in the consciousness of it? Do we even believe it? Does it show up in our life? Is it not out of the heavy issues of our life come from where? From our heart. Is it not what we have in our heart that comes out like? He said, we know. We know it. That our old sinful nature has been crucified. And the result is back, I'm not done. He
So we know that our own sinful self were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose what? His power in our lives. We are no longer slaves of sin. This is what I was saying on Sunday. You live by knowing, by believing what God did in your life through Christ, and what God did for you in Christ, and what God is doing in your life. If you discount this knowledge, you will live outside of grace. Church, you will. Because these are the works of grace that God gave you in abundance, through which you reign in life, through which you overcome. These works of grace, which you must know. Paul said, yeah, I know it. Questions, why know it? Why know it? He said, Pastor, I don't experience it. Why know it? You cannot experience what you don't know. You can't experience what you don't accept as true. You can't get something from God you don't accept that it is yours. It's not going to happen. It is true. It is there. But you won't experience it. Because you don't accept it. How can you experience what you don't accept? I mean, my auntie has a bag. I don't accept the bag. I will not benefit from the bag. Even though the bag is mine. That's why the Bible is saying, he said, when people are babies in Christ, they live as slaves, though they are heirs of everything. But they live as what? Slaves. Because babies don't know anything. These are the things we should know as Christians. So that you too can say, I know, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced now that somebody shouts hallelujah, that my old self has been what? Crucified. By so doing, you are honoring the cross and honoring what Jesus did, honoring what God did. When you don't honor God, God will honor you back. You can't set aside the cross and hope to live the Christian life. Everything derived from it. Everything comes from there. Galatians 2:20. So Paul said, I know this. And so look at his testimony. I am crucified with Christ. Is this the same thing? Church, come. Is this the same thing? Huh? He wrote to the Romans, he said, I know that my old self has been what? He wrote to the Galatians, he said, let me tell you people about me. Let me share my testimony. This is how I live my life. He said, I am what? Crucified. Okay, it's not on the board. Can you put it up, please? Galatians 2:20. My old self has been what? Crucified with Christ. Have you heard him say this before? Where did he say it? To the Romans. Now he's talking to Galatians. It is no longer I who live, but Christ what? So he's giving a testimony about what Christ does in his life. He said, this life is not me anymore. This is Jesus living. How can Jesus come? He said, this is Jesus living. He says, so I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and what? Gave himself for me so that I will be a new creature. Do you see where this man derives what, how he lives his life? And look at another testimony he gave to in Romans 15:18. Yet I dare not boast. Everybody say, I dare not boast. About anything. About what? Except what Christ has what? Done to me. Because it's Christ that is living in me. So what Paul is saying is that I can't boast of anything except what Christ has done to me. Christ was talking. He's the same life I live is Christ. To me, to live is what? To die is. To live is what? Christ. You see, the testimony he keeps giving. That is Jesus that lives to me. He said, I can't boast of anything. So I can't come and tell you what I've done here. But he said, Paul is dead. So Paul didn't do anything. It is Christ in me that lives. So I live by trusting him. And remember. God says, I put a rock of what? He said, some people will come and trip over. He said, but some people, those that trust in him, those that stand in him, they will never be put what? So Paul took his stand on Christ, the solid rock. He stood there. He said, now he's the one. And because he trusted in him, he was never put what? But those of them who didn't want to trust, who will come and trip over him, thinking that they can establish their own righteousness, they will fall and fall and fall and fall again. Amen. So to us, the Holy Spirit said to us, and Paul said to us, for the church to know that it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So your testimony is, I cannot boast on anything except what Christ what? What Christ has what? Done. I was sharing with them about what this man that they took and was talking about. He said, everything he's talking about. Oh my wonderful Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. Oh, glorious Jesus. See, he keeps giving praise for things he says. If he does anything, he said, my wonderful Jesus. Wow. If anything he does, he says, Jesus. Wow. He said, you're so sweet. So, he said, you're really sweet. He said, if you talk of the cross, let's not cry. Once you preach about the cross, he's crying. That he can't stand the love of God for himself all the time. All the time. All the time. That's being on. Not taking credit. We can't take it. Can I hear him? We can't take it. It's Christ that you need. But people tell you what you've done. Why not you share this? That's the Christ. If it's me, I want what? Because by God nature, this is his nature. We have all received the nature of Christ. Amen. You see, our listen to this, interesting. All their good nature died in us. God is not interested in our good nature. I say, but you know, our this influence in our family, we greet people all the time. When you came to Christ, all of them passed away. Well, it is not your good nature that God is talking about. It is eternal life of Jesus is talking about, not your good nature. Not, you know, in our family we are good people. That's not what God is talking about. That's your goodness. If it's what will help you, God will do. Jesus will come. Paul said, if righteousness comes from the law, then Christ died for. People are good nature. That's a lot of heathens are good nature. That's not what God is talking about. God is talking entirely of eternal life, which is the life of Christ, the life that is in Christ, the life of God, the nature of God, which is lived by faith in Christ, which life, which Christ lives through you as the vine comes through you as the branch. An entirely new life. For if any man is in Christ, he's an entirely what? A new creature. All things. So because sometimes we take pride in our good nature. So the thing enters our head. And then we miss out. So we have to understand that the life we live, our testimony must be the testimony of what Christ is doing. Come on. He's doing. I've been here if he's doing. So don't let the devil trick you and come and praise you. Because he came to Jesus, he said, good master. And Jesus said, this thing you see me doing is my father. That's what he told him. He said, none is good except what? He said, if you see these good things, it's my father in me that you went this way. That was his good testimony to him. He didn't take the glory, he gave it to his father. He says, my father in me that does all these things you see. So don't come here and give me his credit. I return it all to what? Is anybody following? So when we get to chapter 7, to be part to continue, you see how Paul began to explain that the law has no ability to save man, and that your will has no ability to save man. That good decision has no ability to save man. That the only person who can save man from sin is you. It's Christ. You see, him develop that ability and show all the struggle we have with sin all the time. The struggle we have, and told us why the answer lies. So the task be to God because of Jesus. That's the answer to all things. Praise the Lord. Well,
you have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.